everyone. Parshas Truma. Intimacy versus intensity in relationships. Let me explain what I mean. Our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom is by definition one of characteristic intensity. The awesomeness of relating to the divine. And the Matan Torah experience of the last few parshias was an experience of characteristic intensity. Fire, thunder, lightning, panam el panam dibra Hashem Aleichem, beholding the divine, locking your eyes with the divine. It is called several times in the Pesukim Yirah, Bavur Lanasus Eschem Bolkim Avur Tia Yirasu Alpneichem, to scare you. Intensity. I'm going to argue, however, that the Mishkan of these parashiyas, Truma, Tetzava, and so forth, are introducing intimacy, connection, into a relationship of intensity. And the very word Mishkan, which means to dwell, Milashon Shechina, as the Shonos constantly used, V'shachanti besochem, I will dwell amongst you, or next week's parashiyah, L'shachni besochem, to dwell amongst you. Closeness, connection. That word is seldom found in Matan Torah. And even in the one case where the word Shachin is found, when it tells us at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Ukvod Hashem Shochein al Har Sinai, to read the Pasuk precisely. When it said, Vayishkin kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem Shechina dwelt above the mountain, not amongst the people, not the Socham, hovering above the mountain. It is not a dwelling amongst us, an intimacy, a connection. This is a new concept. This is introducing intensity into an intimate relationship. And our entire relationship to Hashem till this very day must be one of intimacy fused with intensity. And the juxtaposition of Mishkan following Matan Torah is picking up on this nexus. In a sense, it's Av along with Yira, given dimension of Av along with Yira. And this is reflected in the Midrashic read of the very first words in our parasha. The Yikhuli Truma, which the Midrash reads to mean that through the building of the Mishkan, the Yikhuli, you are taking me. The Yikhuli, you are taking me to be your own. We are taking Hashem to be our own. Characteristically different than the standoffish intensity of quaking and shaking at Har Sinai and standing far back. We're taking in that sense of connection. And I'm going to argue that the famous Ramban in the beginning of this week's Parsha Truma, right, which compares the Mishkan to Maimed Har Sinai and says the Mishkan is coming to perpetuate Maimed Har Sinai, it can perhaps be a little misleading. People might think the Mishkan is Har Sinai 2.0. It's not. It's not. It's perpetuating Har Sinai to introduce a second dimension into Har Sinai. It's bringing the Har Sinai with its characteristic intensity into the realm of intimacy. That's what I would like to study tonight. And all the correlations between Har Sinai and Mishkan will only bring out the power of this nexus further, how the intensity of Sinai meets the intimacy of Mishkan, and how both Ava, Yer, Rachim, Odechilu, these are the double helix, the stuff of life of a healthy relationship to Hashem. To fully develop this, I want to first own the Ramban for ourselves, this concept that the Mishkan is perpetuating Har Sinai, and with time we will see it's not a mere perpetuation, it's actually complementing it, fusing intimacy with the intensity of Har Sinai. Let's begin with the general correlations of the Ramban. Says the Ramban, in many ways, Har Sinai, Mishkan, I'm sorry, is perpetuating Har Sinai. You have correlations like Hashem spoke min hashamayim at Har Sinai, and Hashem continues to speak to Moshe min hashamayim from the Kaporos, revealing himself in the Mishkan. And says the Ramban further, just as it says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim regarding Matan Torah, Hashem revealed himself at Matan Torah as, quote, Hashem, Umara kivod Hashem. First, Vayishkin kivod Hashem al Harsinai vayechasei la'ana. Right? Likewise, you find concerning Mishkan at the end of Parshas Pekudei. Vayechas ha'amna salmod ukivod Hashem ilas ha'mishkan. Covered in both cases. Right? It's perpetuating a similar revelation, says the Ramban, but not quite to the same intensity. Hashem was not quite as palpable in Mishkan as he was at Harsinai, but Benister, an undercurrent of the Kvod Hashem of Har Sinai, was present in the Mishkan. And I'm going to argue, if you read the Pesukim the Ramban quoted carefully, the corollary Pesukim between Matan Torah and Mishkan, you'll see it's almost cut and paste. Not only does it say Kvod Hashem in both cases, but almost in the very same language, lifted one from the other. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, as we read, Vayishkin Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, Vayechseu ha'anan tat umara, right? You have Kvod Hashem along with an anan. Well, likewise at Har Sinai at the end of Pekudei, you have Kvod Hashem along with an anan, a cloud, right? An opaque cloud covering the Kvod Hashem. Vayechas anan es almod Kvod Hashem al Hashem. Very, very similar language. And there are other correlations if we really want to own this for ourselves. The Mishkan is a perpetuation of Har Sinai. For example, I'm going to suggest in Parsha Shmini, at the time of the inauguration of the Mishkan, when Hashem appears in a fire, the siman, the indication to the Jewish people that Hashem Shechina had come, is Vateitzei Esh Milifnei Hashem. A fire from heaven emerged and singed the karbon. Vayar Kolam Vayaronu, the people saw that fire, and they were impressed and they praised Hashem. The notion of a divine fire representing the Shekhinah is so reminiscent of Har Sinai, especially when you carefully eyeball the words in Mishkan. They saw the fire, right? Vateitzei Esh Milifnei Hashem Vayar Kolam. Well, those are the exact words of Sinai. It speaks about Har Sinai. We saw the fire. Dvarim Perek Lamadad Pasuk Lamadbeis Lamadbav Hercha Es Esh. You saw the fire. And I'm going to even argue the imagery of a fire consuming things in Mishkan. Whether the divine fire consuming the carbon, or whether in the catastrophe which follows when a divine fire consumes and kills Nadav and Aviv, the consumption element of the fire is a further splendid parallel we could trace from Maimon Har Sinai. The Torah tells us in Devarim Parakei Pasuk Chafes, people were afraid of the fire of Har Sinai because Tochlenu Ha'esh, maybe this fire will consume us. Countless, countless patterns. And hence, we could own the Ramban for ourselves and we've expanded upon it further. And we can see Mishkan as a 2.0, maybe not as overt. It's undercover, right? And perhaps it's for this reason that the fire, which was present throughout Maimon Har Sinai in the case of the Mishkan, might have only been present at the time of the inauguration of the Mishkan, right? Pashtus, maybe the inauguration of the Mishkan, they all saw fire from heaven, Pashtus, right? It remains as an undercurrent of Mishkan, but it's an undercurrent of revelation, you're going to say. However, I'm going to contend as follows. There's a fundamental difference which happens in Mishkan. Divine revelation is for the first time here on earth. It is no longer beholding a sight of what's in heaven. He spoke to us from the heaven, or as Chazal say, Karas Hashem, he ripped open the heavens. We saw everything because Hashem gave us a purview into heaven. Mishkan is about Hashem leaving the heavens and entering earth. And there are a plethora of Midrashim which speak to this effect. That at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, Hashem said, Ani me niyaches ha'alyonim, I'm going to leave the heavens and join you here on earth. You have the famous Midrash, Nisava Kodesh Baruch Hu She'ilu Dir B'tachtonim. Hashem desired to be with us here on earth, and hence he joined us in the Mishkan. Right? And even here in the verbiage, he desired to be here, and everything desire connotes with its intimacy connection, right? Dira, taiva, desire, dwelling place here on earth as opposed to the heavens, right? In a similar sense, the famous Medrash in Shir HaShirim tells us, Basi Lagani Achosi Kala. Hashem says at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, I've come back to my garden. That originally Hashem had a dwelling place here on earth in Gan Eden, right? And then due to the chatam of man, beginning with Eitz Hadas, Hashem ascended back up to the heavens. He retracted. I don't want to be here. I'm in Golis. I'm in exile, right? Up seven heavens. And the seven tzaddikim, all the way, Avram brings him down one heaven, Yitzchak brings him down one heaven, and finally Moshe brings him, at the time of Hakamas Mishkan, back down here to earth. You see this perpetual pattern that Hakamas Mishkan is about Hashem leaving the heavens, entering earth, or in this Midrashic portrait, re-entering the earth as he was in Gan Eden. And as we're saying, it's a notion of connection, Shekhinah. You're not beholding a distant Ribbono Shel Olam, who's totally a Mashkiach, totally in control, but he's distant in heaven. No, he's very much here. The heavens have now morphed into the earth. It is not at Maimed Har Sinai, whereas Chazal say, "Here Chinas Hashemayim Har Sinai," right? He remained in the heavens, but he brought the firmament of heaven down to earth so we could see it. No, Hashem leaves the heavens, Meiniach Ani Esal Yonim, and I enter the earth. The earth is the new heavens, and this explains several midrashim in our parsha, which talk about the Mishkan as a mirror of the Shemayim. The midrashim see the Urios as the various layers of the heavens, the hooks, the shiny hooks as the stars, the krushim of Atzei Shittim Omdin Kneged, the Serafim Omdin Lamayla, the Malachim who are standing. It's a recreation of heaven, right? When you weave these strands together as a cohesive tapestry, because he's leaving the original heavens. And this happens for the first time at Maimed Har Sinai. Hakamas HaMishkan. The implication is, as we're saying, at Har Sinai, he did not leave the heavens. He revealed himself to us from heavens, and he was Kara the Shemayim, but he didn't leave those heavens, right? And therefore, I am going to argue that as much as the Ramban is comparing and contrasting substantively what was beheld at Har Sinai and what was beheld at Mishkan, Kavod Hashem here, Kavod Hashem there. It's Kavod Hashem in a different realm. It's Kavod Hashem at Matan Torah in Shemayim, and that Kavod Hashem was now here on earth, dwelling intimately amongst us in our world, rather than distant, right, and abstract in the other world. And I want to prove this point for those who are very precise Daikonim and Rishonim. My provocative assertion that the Kavod comparison of the Rabban, Kavod Hashem here, Kavod Hashem here, but the Kavod is in a different place. I want you to understand that the Kavod Hashem of Har Sinai, right? Or when the Torah speaks about Kavod Hashem at Har Sinai, it's referring to something that was in heaven, right? Not the fire and the earthly revelation, which is an echo of the divine which remained in heaven at Har Sinai. Listen to the words of Rashi carefully, your sensitive daikon's ear at the end of Parshas Yisro, right? This is Yisro, Parakhaf, Pasuk Yates, when Rashi is discussing what aspects of the divine at Har Sinai entered earth and what aspects remained in Shemayim. So says Rashi, because the pasuk says in Dvarim, min hashamayim hishmiachas kol liyasraka, from here you see kivodo bashamayim. It's his kavod which remained in heaven. The only thing that was on earth is, as the pasuk continues, the isho v'gvuraso al haaretz. Do you see how we're reading the words of Rashi very precisely with dichotomies? That which remained in heaven at Har Sinai is called kavod. So the very same divine reality which we traced in the Ramban was in the Mishkan as much as it was in Har Sinai, right? It's entering a new realm, right? What was till now in the heavens now entered the earth, right? Final proof to this effect. Again, I'm proving this. I'm proving this through meticulous textual patterns because the Ramban has become so more gull. So, I don't want to say it's a gospel truth when it's a piece of Rishon, right? But correctly, this Ramban has entered our public, our common understanding. Mishkan is a Har Sinai 2.0, and I think that's, there's a major point being missed here, right? It's the same Shekhinah, but in a new realm, more accessible. The same Kavod Hashem, but more accessible than ever before. I'll bring you one more proof. One more proof. Right? Now, you might, I'm in a sense responding to a lambda in the audience who might say, hey, right? When it says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim in the Greater Mountain Torah story that throughout the 40 days and 40 nights after Maimon Har Sinai and Moshe ascends, it speaks, as we said, about Kvod Hashem v'yechaseu ha'ana. Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai v'yechaseu ha'ana. The Kvod Hashem and the Anan are on top of the mountain. So you might say, you see the Kvod here in this world, in the Greater Mount Torah. So it's on top of the mountain, right? But let's realize that the mountaintop of Har Sinai in this context is not really the realm of earth. It's really the realm of Shemayim. Chazal referred to that place of Moshe's ascension, the top of the mountain, where the cloud and the Kavod Hashem is, as Ola Moshe Lamarim. Right? The mountaintop of Har Sinai in this greater story was a place where heaven kissed earth, right? Or perhaps Hirchenes HaShemayim in that Chazal, right? The heavens went down to earth, right? That cloud and Kavod Hashem on top of the mountain throughout the 40 days when Moshe ascended up is conceptually the realm of Shemayim, not the realm of earth. Hashem was still distant and abstract until Maimon Har Sinai, until Hakamas HaMishkan, when he becomes an intimate, closer Ribono Shel Olam of Shachanti B'Socham. Let me prove this with one final proof in the Medrash. It's almost befeksh. When the Medrash in this week's Parsha compares and contrasts Mishkan Mikdash with the Shemayim, it says that when Shlomo builds the Mishkan, the Mikdash, right? He speaks about the Mikdash / Mishkan as an Arafel, a misty cloud. Hashem now wants his misty cloud to be here on earth, as the pasuk says in Malachim. Azamar Shlomo, when he built the Mikdash, Hashem Amar Lishkon Ba'Arafel. It says, unlike until now, where Arafel was the Shemayim, as it says, Umoshe Nigash El Ha'arafel, and it applies the pasuk at the end of Mishpatim. When Moshe goes up the mountain to the Arafel, that's the example of Arafel and misty cloud being in heaven. You see, as much as the misty cloud was on the mountaintop of Har Sinai, the Medrash is understanding that it is conceptually in Shemayim, right? So I think we settled our case through meticulous scriptural, textual pattern, midrashic pattern. It's very clear. Same Shekhinah, but new location, and it's more than a question of geography. It's a question of our entire relationship. It's now Nis'ava Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the dear B'tachton, he wants to live here. He has taiva to us in general. It's a close, intimate concept of Ribono Shel Olam. If you want to an accessible way of looking at this. How many of us, when our children play, sit back in adult company around the dining room table and let the children play there? And how many of us sometimes actually on all fours, crawl down on all fours and play with the children? Most of us good parents in the 21st century do some of both, probably. right? Not good if your children think that they have this hold on you to interrupt all adult activity and adult conversation and drag them into their world, right? But at the same time, we have that close, accessible relationship, right? That we want to be part of our children's world. Now, I don't really care about the spiel on the floor with the monopoly or even less sophisticated behavior about the monopoly. Why am I crawling on the floor and dealing with clicks and blocks and this and that? I actually don't care about that stuff. But I care about him. I care about her. And if they care about blocks or even dolls, and with my five daughters, I've become very aware, right, throughout the last 20 years of all the different feminine Gucci stuff, which I care less about, but I care about them. I'm entering their world. I'm being mitzamtza myself into their world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's meniach the shamayim, and he enters our world, the covered Hashem of heaven, as it was at Maimon Har Sinai, is entering our world. It's because he loves us and he wants to be here with us. Bechnas Ava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lius Levir B'Tachtam. I have to tell you, I find it very heartwarming when I see certain men I know who are a little alpha males or removed or so on. And sometimes, see, as they get older, it starts to melt a little bit. If children didn't do it, I'm saying with some people, like grandchildren, right? Somehow it's bringing out that a little in them. They want a sense of closeness, connection, right? Right? The notion that life is empty. Life is empty if we're too aloof, if we're too abstract, right? If we're the masculine protector who's taking care of the whole mishpacha, but we're not close to the mishpacha. It rings hollow. That's a chelak of the tzelem elokim also, that urge. That the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't just want to be the mashgiach and shamayim, right? But he wants dir b'tachtonim, as happens in Har Sinai. And I'm going to argue that this perspective of Mishkan, it's not just a perspective. Oh, after Matan Torah, now he's entering this world and living amongst us. It's the perspective. It's the entire meta perspective of what's going on in the Chumash here, in the transition between Matan Torah and Mishkan. Why do I say that? Because immediately following Parshas Yisro, in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, the Maimon Har Sinai narrative itself, we have a narrative at the end of Parshas Mishpatim about Moshe ascending up for the mountain, / ascending up Lamaro to the heavenly sphere for 40 days, 40 nights to receive the Luchos. And that's a provocative, if there was a provocative narrative, right? Not simply Hashem revealing himself to us, but a mortal ascending up to heaven to bring down a physical object. Right? I would argue that we can now trace the greater line here. Hashem revealed himself in heaven in Parshas Yisro. Then he says, I want to bridge this gap. You saw me in heaven. I want everything you saw in heaven to come back down to earth. So you know how you're going to do that? Moshe's going to go up to heaven. He's going to bring down the Luchos, and with that, my Shekhinah. And hence, I'm going to be present with you in the Mishkan. You see how it's a very direct line? And if you think about it on a Pshuto Shomikra level, the Mishkan was really a situating point for the Luchos, that which Moshe received in heaven. The holiest place in the Mishkan is the Kodesh Kedoshim, where the Aron, literally a chest, holds the Luchos, and that defines the Mishkan. The Mishkan is called at times Mishkan Ha'edos, and its simple meaning because it contains the Aron, which contains Luchos Ha'edos. It's a Mishkan of testimony because its epicenter is the Luchos Ha'edos. The Mishkan is a place really where the Luchos lay. The entire Shvishachanti Besokham, I'm arguing on some level, emanates from the fact that holds the Luchos, which came from heaven, right? You see how we're putting the greater picture together here, right? Mishkan is that which was in heaven magically and miraculously entering the earthly sphere. That happens because between Matan Torah, when Hashem was revealed himself in heaven, and between Yisro, when Hashem was revealed himself in heaven, and Truma, when Hashem reveals himself on earth, there is the end of Mishpatim, where Moshe ascends up to heaven to bring the Luchos down to earth, right? Moshe is that pulley, yeah? which brings the divine down to from heaven quite literally by going up to heaven and bringing the good from heaven back down to earth. And I'm sensing some people look at me like I'm saying a big chiddush, and some people look at me like I'm saying a davar pasha. If you think about it, it's clear. It's clear that this is the pattern of the Seder HaParshias here in Shmos. That Moshe ascending up to heaven for the 40 days and the 40 nights to receive the Luchos is the segue into Mishkan. As we said, first of all, right after Moshe ascends up to the heaven for the 40 days and the 40 nights, immediately then Hashem narrates to him about the Mishkan, right? For any midrashim you learned about Hashem teaching Moshe Kol HaTorah Kula and Shemaim during the 40 days, in the Peshuto Shel Mikra, what did Hashem teach him during the 40 days, 40 nights that he ascended up to heaven to receive the Luchos? Parshas Truma Tetzav at the beginning of Kisisa, the Mishkan narrative. Because immediately when he's done narrating the Mishkan narrative, that's when he gives him the Luchos and says in Parshas Kisisa, go down. Do you see that very much in Peshuto Shel Mikra? Just kind of feel the pulse in the text. He tells him, Parshas Mishpatim, go up to heaven. I'm going to give you the Luchos v'Torah v'Hamitzvah. And the Peshuto Shel Mikra says the Torah and the Mitzvah here mean this, as far as the difference on the Luchos, right? And with that, I'm giving you the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the Mishkan Ha'edus, which is going to hold the Luchos Ha'edus. And that's how things should have happened. Moshe would have ascended the mountain with the Luchos, would have built that Mishkan originally. In Peshuto Shel Mikra, I'm not entering complex Rishonim quagmires in Peshuto Shel Mikra. That things got a little derailed. It was a Shviras Haluchos because there was an Egel. We derailed it. We committed infidelity. We needed to deal with that issue. New Luchos, new Bris. But once that's re-cemented, right, we have new Luchos, Luchoshnius, the end of Parshas Kisisa, and then the Mishkan project resumes in Parshas Vayakal B'Kutei. You see that very, very clearly. The Mishkan is part and parcel of the greater Luchos project because the Luchos were that which came from heaven. And the goal here is to bring Hashem from heaven, as he was in Har Sinai, down to earth, for him to leave the heaven and the place of distance and rendering the divine an abstraction down closely and intimately into our lives. And we can conceptualize this from different perspectives, how through the Luchos from heaven, entering the Mishkan, in turn Hashem leaves heaven. Hashem joins the Luchos, so to speak. The Kavod Hashem, right, is in a sense enmeshed in the Luchos. It's Hashem's Torah, it's Hashem's word, it's his Dibur, it's his Ratzon, it's him. So when he enters the Mishkan, right, with him, when his Luchos, when his Torah enters the Mishkan, with it he enters. Medrash, in the beginning of our parsha, uses a famous mashal about a father-in-law and a daughter. A father, daughter, and son-in-law, right? A father has a beloved daughter, and he marries off the daughter, and he's like, I miss my daughter, and tells the son-in-law, oh boy, this is like a very scary moment. This is something I want to visit. I visit often. He says, make sure you have a room for me to visit, because I can't separate from my daughter. Hashem says, the Torah, the Luchos, is my daughter. I can't separate from her. If she's with you, right? The price of wedding her and taking her hand is me, right? I'm not saying anyone should try this when they're marrying off their daughter, but the point is, right, you see how the Medrash is triangulating Kol Yisrael, Luchos, and Mishkan, and Hashem. It's because the Luchos are the vehicle to bring him in. I would suggest from a slightly different perspective, there's a pattern in the text that when Hashem gives Moshe the Luchos at the end of the 40 days of Parshas Kisisa, and it says, he gives him the Luchos, Kechaloso L'Dabarimo, when he was done speaking to him, and Rashi, B'Shem Chazal Darshan's Lamilashin Kala, the Luchos, the Torah, where the Jewish people's Kala, right? So the Luchos, the Torah, is our Kala, Morasa Kilas Yaakov. You find the same expression at the time of Hakamas HaMishkan, in Parshas Naso, Vayehi Biyom Kalos Moshe L'Hakamas HaMishkan, right? And Chazal say, Lashin Kala is used because when the Mishkan was built, we became Hashem's Kala. We're living in the spousal about Hashem and Kal Yisrael, right? The pattern is unmistakable here. It's a splendid textual pattern that Hashem gives Moshe the Luchos to be Klal Yisrael's Kala, and then in turn in Mishkan, we become Hashem's Kala, right? The echo in the text is the only two times we find out Lashon Kala, right? That there's some sort of triangulation going on here. I'm not writing notes from my perspective. I'm not going to talk about father-in-law, daughter, father, daughter, son-in-law, okay, perhaps some of the, perhaps some people here, depending on what their relationships, their shvar are squirming a little bit. I'm being with Dayakim Chumash. There's another concept here of two levels of marriage going on. For Torah is our wife. We wed Torah, and to the extent we wed Torah, Hashem weds us. But that all happens in the context of Luchos and the Mishkan, right? The Yikhu Lit. We take Hashem through the Luchos and Mishkan. The greater picture, which I'm trying to convey here is, the greater picture, which I'm really trying to convey here is, that both in Pshat and Drash, the meta picture of Mishkan is Hashem's leaving the realm where he was of Matan Torah, right? Entering the Mishkan, as represented by Moshe, taking the Luchos from heaven out, and Hashem who's connected to it, entering the world and entering Mishkan. It is not Matan Torah 2.0. That would defy the whole meaning of Mishkan, right? That Ramban is giving you a snippet of the picture. It's the same Kavod Hashem, right? That Ramban is one brushstroke in the greater canvas. The greater canvas is, no, if you think it's a perpetuation of the Mitzvah 2.0, you miss the whole rhythm, the whole pulse. Right. I would fire a nurse practitioner who didn't know how to feel the pulse of a patient this way. You haven't felt the, I had my frustrations with nurse practitioners, right? You haven't felt the pulse, the text appropriately here, right? The whole idea here is he's in heaven, Moshe's going up to heaven to bring the Luchos and the Shekhinah down, and now it's leaving heaven. It's the whole picture here, the whole entire picture here, and that is the greater theme of Parshas Truma. I'm going to posit as represented by the name Truma itself. Halodavar, Truma, lifting, elevating, is in the same word as Marom. Moshe at this stage was Ola leMarom. The coincidence is too great to be written off as mere coincidence. When Moshe elevated himself to the place called Marom and went up to receive the Luchos, Hashem speaks about the Jewish people here on earth creating Marom, right, through physical goods, Truma. You might say cute pattern, I think it's more than cute, and all the more compelling when you look in the Baal HaTurim in the beginning of the parasha, when he says the word Truma in Beyikhali Truma, and the Baal HaTurim is a Ramazim, are not cutesy homilies. The Baal HaTurim knows the art of Ramazim, and he's teasing up a deeper realm in Torah. It's not Shalosh Shudas homilies, the Baal HaTurim. Right, the Baal HaTurim says the word Truma is an otrikon, is an abbreviation of Torah with the word with the letter Mem, because it represents the Torah Moshe received during the 40 days. Now hold on here. What does the Torah Moshe received during the 40 days have to do with Truma? Well, according to what we're saying, everything. The word Truma represents Maro, Moshe's elevated place during the 40 days when he's receiving the Torah, because it's because Moshe is in the elevated place to receive the Torah, that then he's going to be able to bring the elevated place down to earth. That's exactly the point. And furthermore, you'll understand from this pattern, the word Truma is representing the realm of Marum, the elevated heavens Moshe entered, is now being brought back down to earth through the earthly donations of gold, silver, and tchelas, right? This greater pattern is really baked into the Medrash in our parasha, when the Medrash tells us that the theme of our parasha, of Hashem entering the Mishkan, is represented by the Pasuk in Tehillim. When the Pasuk says, Kapitel Samaches, Pasuk Yutas, Alisa Lamarum Shavisa Shevi, Moshe went up to heaven to receive the Torah, dot, dot, dot. Lishkon ka, and then Hashem is shochin and enters the Mishkan, right? Notice how the Medrash is seeing the theme of our parsha as one of Moshe's elevating himself to the Marum for 40 days, then as a transition point for Hashem Shechina to enter the Mishkan. That is the greater theme of the parsha, as reflected by the word Truma itself, and the fact that when Moshe is in Marom, it's speaking about the Jewish people elevating the earth to Marom, because everything Moshe is experiencing up in heaven, he's bringing down to this earth in the Mishkan. I find that very satisfying as a thematic pattern in Parshas Truma and all the strands of the tapestry which we wove. So the way I would now internalize throughout the correlation of the Ramban, which we owned for ourselves through further development, between Har Sinai and Mishkan. It's the same divine who was in heaven, right? Who is now in Mishkan. What that means is, it is that same fearsome Rabbona Shalom who you quaked from. It is that same relationship of intensity which is now assuming intimacy. Our intimacy with the Ribbono Shel Olam is not despite the intensity. There are not two faces of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the lovey-dovey one and the awesome, overwhelming one. But our sense of connectivity, closest intimacy, right, is along with the recognition of his very awesomeness itself. It is only to the extent we're aware of his awesomeness that we are in touch with him, that in turn that we could get close to him. And that is why Mishkan, for all of its domestic nature as a bias, never really loses its reverence. Mora Mikdash, it's a place of awe. And just as at Har Sinai, the people were told again and again, and sure, you know, advance too close. In an unmistakable pattern, we find in the entire Chumash, we're told in the Mishkan, constant warning, Jewish people, don't push through too close into the Kodesh Kedashim. And just as at Har Sinai, the Kohanim Hanigashim Al Ha'am, the Kohanim were told it's your job to ensure that people don't come too close, the Kohanim / Levim are told throughout the Chumash, it's your job, right, Mishmar Sakosh, to ensure they don't enter too close. Do you notice the irony that as much as the Mishkan is reflecting the morphing of a relationship to a distant Ribbono Shel Olam, to a Ribbono Shel Olam of closeness, the sense of restraint and awe doesn't really leave. I believe that's the pattern by itself. That is the great, great iron. This is exactly the Nakuda. Mishkan is teaching us that these two are not distinctive truths. I hate to overtly and explicitly mention current events, especially when they don't necessarily reflect the highest echelons of Bali Avodah, but maybe some less than, some more sordid stuff going on. But I will make loose reference for those who know. There's a certain back and forth going on at certain elements of Klal Yisrael right now. Has been for about the last 3 weeks. Certain groups in Klal Yisrael, which some people feel stress a more happy, clappy brand of Judaism rather than one in its full substance. So there's been a pushback, right? As we Jews always tend to do and tend to tussle around a little bit. We tend to do that a lot. And, you know, try to create media to match their media, right? And don't think Fab Rangans and Beklach and Christie are going to save you on the Yom HaDin. And there's this impression, there's this, I think, very immature impression on both sides that either it's a geshmak, happy, clappy thing, or it's a yiras ha'onash, sort of, you're going to burn in hell, sort of thing. And I'm so unimpressed that people are bifurcating, that like the only response that it's happy clappy or you're selfish. Mm-hmm. The notion that maybe there's a concept called geshmak, rewarding tveikas b'Hashem, but it's substantive. That comes through work and learning, work and davening, work and shalom bayis. And maybe we can integrate the two if we have a more authentic concept, right? Which I'm gonna argue has something to do with this, right? The fact that we have a relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam in his full intensity, right? The Mishkan is bringing the intensity of Har Sinai and Torah and all of that into intimacy. Intensity and intimacy are fused. It is not this bifurcated model, right? And this is really the subtle definition that the intensity of mind at Harsinai and the discipline which it requires is being brought in to the realm of intimacy. And I would argue it's goofa for this reason, that Kal Yisrael, you can trace a pattern in Chumash, Kal Yisrael struggles much more in the Mishkan with maintaining the discipline of not coming too close than they do at Harsinai. I want to ask you a question. At Harsinai, as much as Hashem warned again and again, Moshe, tell the people don't come too close, and tell them again don't too close, did the people ever come close to violating it at Harsinai? No! The Chumash says they shook! They quaked, and Hashem tells Hashem himself, Moshe himself tells Hashem, enough! I told them enough times, no one's coming near, and they tell Moshe, we're not coming close, wait, we think we're gonna die, right? You come close, right? The constant words are, right? Vayamdu me rachok, they stand far, they say, krovata Moshe, only you draw close, we're not drawing too close, right? Moshe's originally uncomfortable with this, Rashi says. Moshe's like, oh boy, you guys don't want Kirva. You want me as an intermediary, right? You don't want, in Rashi's words, Kirva Me'ava. Okay, Hashem says, V'yitin halvai d'chaviyera. You notice at Harsinai, the people are very much at ease with the concept. Hello, with this awesome Rabbona Shalom, right? Ha, who in their right mind is gonna rush forth in a flight of passion, right? However, in Mishkan, that's exactly what happens again and again and again and again. On the very day the Mishkan is erected, right? Not the men of you come too close, b'karvasim lefnei Hashem. Now, of course, Chazal said that was part of the lesson which had to be learned in Mishkan. But it was learned through mistake. And then it happens to a degree again with Korach v'Adaso, right? Kal Yisrael keeps making the mistake. And why? When they didn't struggle with that at Harsinai, is it simply because the Kavod Hashem was less intense in Mishkan? I don't think it's simply a question of less intensity. I think it's this irony Kal Yisrael is struggling with. You see, if Hashem is distant and abstract, right? Don't get too near, too austere. God, yeah, that's easy. But a Rabbeinu Shalom who's close, when you're ensconced by the Rabbeinu Shalom's love, you're in a place of bias, Mishkan, domestication, and amidst the domestication, there has to be awe. That's a kunz. That takes spiritual sophistication, right? Sophistication, which I'm saying, and Bismanenu is apparently people are struggling with also. That's sophistication, right? Perhaps I'll bring this out from two angles, and with that, and with this, I will conclude. Anyone who has to run out to Meyer, please do so. I run out early. The sophistication which is required, close and yet in awe, Mishkan versus Meyer at Harsinai, perhaps is very powerfully articulated in Parshas Bechukosai. When the Pasuk says in the Brachos in Bechukosai, Vayikra Parakhavov, Sukhmir Aleph, Yubes. When it says, Vinasati Mishkani Besokha, my Mishka, my Mikdash is going to be with you, dot, dot, dot. Vesalakti Besokha, I'm going to walk amongst you. My Mishkan is with you, says Rashi. I'm going to be Mitael with you in Gan Eden. This total closeness. My Mishkan is with you. I'm walking with you. We're walking almost, we're almost frolicking. We're a couple walking together in Gan Eden. And you pick up on all the Mishkan Mashal movies here, on Mishkan associations, evocations, Mishkani, Gan Eden, Basila Gani, right? And yet in that very context, says Rashi, and yet appropriately in that context, Rashi says, you're no longer going to quake from me, right? It says, below Tiyum is Dazdami Meni. Appropriately, you're not going to sweat for me anymore. Now, at Harsinai, we sweat. There's a very powerful pattern here. This is a vision of loss of love, but with Mishkan, Gan Eden, our parsha sort of references, when Hashem is close, we don't sweat, we don't quake anymore. However, Yachalu Tirami Meni. You might think that means you don't stand in awe of me. Tamar Womer Beisim Kamal Kim. Right? It's no longer mine at Harsinai, no quaking, no shakers, no quakers, no sweating. Frolicking, and yet you stand in awe. And I think I suggest that's baked into Mishkani, Visalachti, Visalchon, Began Eden, by design to reference our parsha, this is the great arc of Har Sinai, right? A final coordinate, Har Sinai, which is total law, versus the sophisticated blend of Mishkan, intensity with intimacy. I would argue this is a seed of an idea for a subsequent shiur. Which one of the Avos is most connected to Mishkan, without Mishkan Mikdash, without that? No question, Yaakov. Yaakov Karabayas, Yaakov had the first concept of Beis HaMikdash, right? The crushing was built, midrashically, from the Atzei Shittim of Yaakov, right? And that's because Yaakov was the figure of intimacy. Also Shlema, Yaakov perfected the whole notion of spousal intimate connection, or Ro Karim Miyamov, as Chazal say, right? Yaakov is all about intimacy between man and woman, intimacy with Hashem, right? Unlike Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, right? He's the Av of all. Yitzchak doesn't really have a connection to Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak has a connection to Avoda. Yitzchak is the carbon. Yitzchak is the aspect of all, but without the domestication of Beis HaMikdash. Halundavarhu, that the attribute of Yitzchak is Pachar Pachar Yitzchak, while the attribute of Yaakov is Manora HaMakom HaZeh, awe. They're not the same thing. Pachar, Rashi says in Chumash, is a terrorizing fright of a surprise, shock, and shaking. That's Yitzchak tank. That's all. That's Matan Torah. Yitzchak's connected to Matan Torah. Shavuah is connected to Yitzchak. I also Yitzchak, the chauffeur. Right? Yaakov is introducing a new model. Intimacy along with intensity, I'm going to argue, is when Pachar becomes Yerim. Those were the words Rashi and Parshas Bechukosai used before. So it's in fact a cohesive pattern. Mishkan is teaching us this splendid blend, how to bring intimacy into intensity, how we all can have a relationship to Hashem of utter, total, all and intensity, but yet not of distance and quaking and shaking, but of closeness. And Av and Yira, love and all, these two indispensable aspects of Yira can be complementary. May we all be Zohar to have the stuff of life, the double helix of intimacy and intensity, Av and Yira, which gives us spiritual vitality. Amen. Kein Yehi Ratzon.